is okay. And the name of our sermon this morning is Romans 6, Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. And I want to just jump right into the text here with you this morning. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And what does Paul reply to that? Everybody say it together. By no means. By no means. How can we who died in sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Can you say newness of life? God has a new life for you. He doesn't have an old life for you. He doesn't have an old, cracked, used up life for you. He has new life for you and for me. If you've been water baptized before, by immersion in water, and that's how biblically Jesus did it, so we believe that we're called to do it in the same way, right? And so when you've been baptized, you've been kind of dunked under the water, if you will, right? We don't keep you down there for too long, okay? We don't count to 20 minute Mississippi and say, oh, I forgot a Mississippi. No, we don't do that, right? But again, we are immersed down in the water. It's the biblical model. And please, if you have not been baptized before, we encourage you. We encourage you to take that step. And that step is symbolic. It's saying, I'm dead to sin, and I'm made alive to Christ. I'm a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We also talk about baptism and the fact that we are baptized into Jesus' death as he was died on the cross, was buried in the grave, right? And then arose from that in resurrection power, and that we have the same resurrection power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. And that is life-changing. It's life-changing. And so baptism by immersion is a dramatic mime, and I don't mean the mime that goes like this, okay? But it's a dramatic mime of what God has done with us. Baptism is an outward evidence that God incorporated us believers into Christ. You and I are now part of the body of Christ. We talk about that a lot, right? Paul talks about that a lot. But when we're in the body of Christ, it means we are a part of the body of Christ, right? It's an ordinance of the church. Communion is another ordinance. There's two main ordinances of the church that we participate from a biblical standpoint, and that is communion and baptism. It's the action of being plunged into the water, and it associates us with his death. I love the word plunge, not just because of what happens at salvation, but I love the feeling of being plunged. Anybody ever go on a ride like that? Or you're on this log, right? And you're going through this logging facility, right? And you see the guy chopping wood like this. He's usually moving a little bit slower than this. But he's chopping the wood. And it's kind of distracting because you're kind of being moved and splashing a little bit. But then you're getting ready to take this huge dive where you're going to plunge down into the water when you're in this log, right? It's a little more comfortable than that, right? There's a little cushioning in there. And I convinced my kids, we had gone to Mall of America, and I convinced three out of my four children, at the time the older ones, to come in and get in the log with me, right? And Gabby, she's not really likes exciting thrill ride type things, right? And so, and Dylan was the typical boy, he's like, woo! You know, Gabby's like, daddy. and so, you know, I think about this ride and I think about what took place. And, you know, it's a reminder that when we get ready to take the plunge in life, to go from here into heaven, some people get really scared, right? There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear of, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I'm dealing with sickness or I'm dealing with pain. And I don't know if I'm ready to take this plunge. Some people, like I knew a 101-year-old lady, she was excited about going to be with the Lord. She couldn't wait. They were writing articles in the paper about her excitement to go and be with the Lord. She had her hands up. She's ready to plunge, right? She's like, woo! And, you know, when we think about this, that drop, it can be intimidating, right? And when we go on rides like this, doesn't your stomach kind of just go, woo, right? Sometimes it can even go up into your chest. You're like, get back down there. It doesn't belong there, right? It can be scary. It can be intimidating. But Jesus took the plunge for you and me. Now, I use the term desperado. We used to go on the desperado plunge. This was back in New York State, but it was called the desperado plunge. And I use that term because, you know what? Not just because it's the name of the ride, but desperado meant, you know, somebody that was reckless, somebody that had a criminal record. And, you know, Jesus took the desperado plunge for you. You and I didn't deserve it. We had a criminal record. We had a sin record. Our slate was not clean. We had red in our ledger. And Jesus took that, and he took the plunge for you and for me. But what we don't hear often is that he took you on the plunge with him. Like I said, when I was at Spiritual Emphasis Week, we'd go back in time to Babylon, and I'd go, woo, 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 bing. All right, you guys are all back in Babylon with me. You're back in time with me in this new time, and you're in Babylon. Jesus took you back with him. He took you back with him, and he says, you're going to go with me. You're going to die with me. You're plunged into death. You are buried with Christ in death. And now because of this action, we are indeed dead to sin. But sometimes it doesn't feel like it, does it? Sometimes it doesn't feel like we're dead to sin. And we're going to get to that part. And we're going to be talking about that. And many times when you think of sin, what do you think of? What do you think of when you think of sin? Think of things like the wrongs you've done, right? Maybe it's sins of commission, things that you've done, things that you've said that you knew were wrong. And then there's sins of omission, right? Where it's sins where you didn't do something. You gave your word and you didn't do it. You said you were going to do something, or you saw a need and you just turned away and refused to act upon it. Sin of omission, right? To omit something, right? And a lot of times we view sin in these terms and in these ways. But Paul, he does something really interesting. Paul, he personifies sin. He says that sin, it's not just an attitude. It's not just an action. He saw it as an entity. You guys see what that is? What is that? It's a crown, right? That sin in this world is king. Sin is on the throne of this world, ruling this world. Sin is king. And then Paul, he'll describe that sin is what? You see what here? You see chains, right? It's a little dark to see. But slavery, that sin is a slave owner. It's a cruel taskmaster. Has anybody ever felt the effects of that? Where you feel as though, man, this thing just binds me. It holds on to me. I can't get it loose. Sin is a slave owner. Sin is a king. And sin is dead or alive. It's either dead or it's alive. And then this is kind of a funny one. Remember this back in the day, the old black and white movies? Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But But you know what? Paul describes it this way. Paul says that, first of all, sin was alien to us. And I don't mean little green men, okay, but we're kind of going there for imagery a little bit, right? But sin was alien to us. It wasn't a part, that's not how God made you. God formed you and made you perfect. God made you amazing. God made you in his likeness. And then sin got in, right? Sin invaded. It's an invasion of the body snatchers, right? Maybe it's a silly illustration, but the aliens took over the people's bodies in this old school black and white movie. And in all seriousness, that's what sin has done to humanity. The world apart from Christ is under sin's control. We as Pentecostals believe in the rapture. We believe that Jesus is coming soon, and we believe that he is going to pre-tribulation bring us up to be with him. What's one of the main reasons that we believe that? Because Jesus says we are salt and we are light of the world. But once the salt has been taken out, once we have been raptured, or how the Latin says raptura, which we get from the scripture that says to be caught up in the air, when we're caught up, all the goodness is taken out of the earth. And so sin can reign like a monster. And the Antichrist can come in and everybody just says, we worship you. And we're going to follow you and we'll do anything that you say. And one world order takes place and one world leader takes place. All of the salt, all of the light has been pulled out and been raptured. And so, again, guys, when we're in this world, I don't just affect me, do I? I affect everybody that my life touches with the gospel and the light of Jesus Christ. I affect it. I'm an influence on it. It makes a difference in me. You see, this is the world, guys. I want kids, everybody look this way. This is the world. You see this? You see this? Justin, you see this? It's pretty dark, isn't it, right? You see what's on it? It's hard to see, right? But then, when the light of God comes and the testimony of faith, and I've gone from death to life, something begins to change. Something begins to change. The light of God brings new clarity. It brings new light. It kind of shows the badlands, doesn't it? It shows where we need to change. It shows where we need to be transformed. It shows where we need to be renewed. When we die to sin and come alive to God, we're new. We're not the old dark cup anymore. But we're filled with the newness of who Christ is. And he transforms us. He makes us new. There's a difference because of what Christ has done, and I am alive in him. I'm alive in him. When we had Teen Challenge come just last week, we talked about being light. We talked about, again, going from depravity and darkness and addiction and sin, where the guys played around in the darkness and thought it was okay, but that Jesus calls us to live in the light as he is in the light. And what a dramatic turn of events have taken place in their heart and their life, because they said, no longer am I going to allow sin to control me. Paul, before talking about salvation, says, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. What does it mean to be under sin? It means to be under the control of sin. Christ's work was to attack sin on its own ground and defeat it. The man or woman in Christ enters into victory and is delivered from sin's tyranny. It's as if the devil came on board a ship and began hijacking a ship. And he began hijacking this ship, how many of you have seen Incredibles 2, right? Raise your hand if you've seen it. So Incredibles 2, there's this guy called the Screenslaver, right? This enemy, this evil villain called the Screenslaver. And they hypnotize superheroes and ordinary citizens and put them under control. And they're on this ship, and the ship is going 100 miles per hour, getting ready to ram into the coast. And it has key leaders on it and all of this. What they normally wouldn't do, they begin to do under the power of the Screenslaver. The Incredibles board the ship. My kids are like, Dad, because I was preaching to them, okay? And they said, Dad, you know, the kids were the ones that did it. The kids were the ones that were on board. And so they did. And they freed the people from the hijacker and the attempt to stop the destructive ship from crashing into the city. And this drama moves us because Christ did the same for us. Christ got on board our ship. It was going in the wrong direction. It was speeding towards destruction. And Christ defeated the Screenslaver. And by paying for all of our sin, he's delivered us and pulled off the hypnotizing glasses of sin in which we see life and live life in our old way of life. And so my question to you is, when we think about sin in this way, when Paul personifies sin, how do you get victory in your life? How do you get victory in your life? I don't know about you, but trying to live right at times can be exhausting. So how do you win the battle? And I think so much, everybody look at those glasses for a second. I think so much is perception. Perception. How we see the experiences around us and the people around us. It's obvious from Paul's argument in Romans chapter 6 to 8 that the Christian is not made morally perfect at conversion. Guess what? When you say, Jesus is my Lord, and I want him to be the Lord and Savior of my life, you are not made perfect at salvation. You're like, Pastor John, we talked about justification so much. Yeah, let me clarify. That justification, you're now at this new plane, if you will. Right? You ever feel like when you're worshiping, you're like, woo, I feel like I'm on cloud nine. That's not drugs. It's the Lord, okay? And he has taken you to a place of intimacy and closeness with him. And on this plane, you look just like Jesus, right? You have been credited. You have been assigned his righteousness. It's an exciting thing. But guess what? This is the new era. And the old era is closing up. And no, I'm not talking about laundry detergent, okay? The old era is closing up. It's wrapping up. It's getting old like a garment, and it's going to be thrown away. In the new era, the rapture, Jesus coming back, is about to appear. It's imminent. It's about to take place. And that's the new plane. That's up here. And what's amazing about God is we get to taste this, right? We get to taste the new plane where God would have us. But yet this, the old thing, is still wrapping up. But God wants this life to touch this life, vice versa. God wants to see what you're going to be forever to touch your life right now. What Jesus is going to do for eternity should not be pie in the sky. It should not be, well, someday I'll live for Jesus. Someday I'll look like Jesus. Yeah, someday you're going to have a glorified body, but what are you doing now with the transformation that's taking place now? How is it that your life will be affected now? And God calls us to it. God calls us to it. He's calling us to live different. But he calls us, and he empowers us to do so. It's thinking differently. It's walking differently. It's talking differently. I'll tell you what. When you know the right thing to do, and then you continue on in sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Because he's saying, I'm offering you this. Why? Are you going back to that? I know that king seemed really good. That beer, that alcohol tasted really good at the time. But what did it get you? A hangover? I know that drugs seem like you really need it, but what has it gotten you? Secrecy? Deception? Hiding things? What has it gotten you? Sin wants to invade you. Sin wants to have you. But as Christians, we have the power to slam the door on that thing and say, no more. I'm done with you. It's over. It's over. Because you know what? I'm dead. I'm dead to sin. I don't owe you anything more. Guess what? Because when I'm dead, all my debts go away. I don't owe you. There's not some kind of manipulative factor with sin that sin can play. I'm dead. Now I'm living a newness of life. So you can't have a hold on me. You know, there are thoughts that come across my mind, and you know what I do? I cast them down in Jesus' name. I say, I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. I'll be walking in the grocery store. Now, I don't shout it. I'm like, rebuke you all. Let me grab some pancakes. No, I mean, I'm not like trying to make people think I'm crazy or something, but out loud, I will say quietly, I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. That thought did not come from me. That came from the enemy. I rebuke that thought. Thoughts of jealousy, thoughts of anger, thoughts of sin. That thought goes across my mind. And let me talk to the guys for a second. Guys, we tend to be visual. So if we see a lady walking by and she is scantily clad, she's not wearing what she should be wearing, there is a difference between looking once and looking away. And you need to train yourself to do that. You see them, first instance, you've looked. Listen, people, it's not like you can walk around going, I don't see anybody. Mommy, make it go away. Okay, no, you're a grown-up man, okay? You're learning to be a man of God, right? There's you're going to see things, but you look once and you look away versus you gaze. And guess what? I don't care if your wife's watching or your girlfriend's watching or not, Jesus is watching. And guess what? It's not a guilt thing. It's a sin enslavement thing. Because you gaze on that alcohol, you gaze on that drug, you gaze on that girl, and soon you will start doing things that you regret. It goes for ladies too, just in a different way. Do you want to gaze on sin, or do you want to gaze on the promises of God that he has for you? Do you want to live a life that's so tempting and so like everybody else is doing it? It's so funny, even into adulthood. Well, this is how life is. Like, this is how life has to be. It doesn't have to be that way. Be the change. Be different. Be salt. Be light, because Jesus is coming back soon. Be about his business. So look once, but look away. And then guess what? You know what a good thing is? Lord God, wash my mind. Wash my mind. You know, the Bible says that as men, we are to wash our wives with the water of the word. It means that God's word can cleanse us and he can purify us. And guess what? If you don't have a man in your life, it doesn't matter. Let Jesus be the man in your life and let him wash you with the water of the word. Right? Let him transform you. Let him speak over your life. Let him speak, because you know what? He should be your first love in the first place, right? And so, again, we look at the sins no longer king in my life, no longer slave of the passions that drove me. And Paul says this. He says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. He says, train. What does the Holy Spirit do? He trains us, right? If you talk to Sean, he can train you in heavy lifting, okay? You use your legs, okay? Everybody, remember when you're doing a move and you're like, oh, let me move. And you know you're doing the wrong thing, right? You're doing this back thing. You're like, oh, I know I'm going to see the chiropractor in about an hour. You know, and you lift up this heavy box. And you're like, oh, I feel like I'm doing a lot of work this way, Pastor. No, you gotta train to use your legs. If you never do this job right here, you're probably, when it comes to moving, never going to do this job. You're like, I haven't done that in good a year or 5 years. You got to train yourself to do that. Otherwise, you just go back to the norm. Oh, honey, call the chiropractor. Okay? And then soon it's, honey, call the ER. Okay, so God wants to train you in righteousness. And guess what? When you first give your life to Jesus, you don't know anything about righteousness. Right? It seems completely foreign. It is the invader. Right? God wants me to do right? What is going on here? That seems so abnormal. That's not normal for me, Pastor. I cuss like a sailor. Okay, ahoy there, matey. Join the training. Get on board. Because if you never do this in practice, you're not going to do it when somebody's cussing you out. If you don't do this in practice, you're never going to choose to slam the door on sin. If you never train in righteousness, you're not going to have the spiritual muscles to take it to the next level, to go further in Him. And who's your trainer? Sean would be a good one, but the Holy Spirit is even a better trainer, right? Because He's God, right? And He trains us in the way that we should go. He trains us in righteousness. Don't expect to lift 500 pounds overnight, right? Don't expect to take these massive leaps in a moment, but by grace, right? Because God can deliver you from chains of bondage of sin, right? And you can take leaps for God, and you might be just surprised when you do. But God has to train us. He wants us to be trained by Him. I love this word in Titus, renounce. We understand that Jesus is the captain of the ship now, and we don't have to follow the commands of sin. We don't have to follow the screen slaver. We don't have to keep on driving that boat 100 million miles per hour. And God's given us supernatural abilities. Now, I'm not talking about Frozone, freezing the piece off, and Mr. Incredible diving underwater and turning the boat. But I'm talking about God has given you new supernatural gifts, where you can pray like you've never prayed before, that you can believe for miracles like you never believed for miracles before, that God can give you knowledge that you never knew because He's giving you supernatural power. And it comes out in praying right before a fire and God making it so that they were not burned and they didn't lose their crop completely, right? That's the power of God. That's not coincidence. That's the power of God being displayed. Did you know that you can have that superpower? As a kid, I used to love superpowers. I was like, I love Batman too because he had all the cool gadgets. But I love Superman. Did you know that was made by two Jewish boys? It's so weird. It's so interesting. Superman coming to Earth, his father sending his one and only son to Earth to save it. And he has incredible power over. That kind of sounds familiar. It kind of sounds like a Messiah, doesn't it? Okay. So, you know, God wants to fill us, and He wants to train us, and He wants us to take captive sin and saying, you're not the captain anymore. You're not at the helm anymore, sin. You know, because you know what the big trick of the screen slaver is? It's that we're actually at the helm. Sorry, I'm like blasting through this. You're like, what are you doing? going through the screen. But the point is that you're not the king of your life. I am the master of my abilities. I am, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the old 80s cartoons. I'm master of the universe. No, you're not. You're not master of your own manifest destiny. Give me a break. You're not. So realize you're not, and realize that somebody or something is on the throne of your life and shouldn't be. And that when you become a Christian, that me and you constantly have to go, Jesus, take, You know, I'm not having you say, sing Carrie Underwood, okay? Jesus, take the wheel. Okay, I'm not saying that. But again, in essence, he needs to take the wheel of our lives. He needs to take the throne. He needs to take control. And you steer, because I'm heading towards the shore going 100 miles per hour and about to do some destruction, not only to myself, but to other people that are on board. And I don't want that. I want you to lead my life. So the challenge for us is this morning is to actually believe the word of God that says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The faith righteous man and woman of God has been brought within the circle of the new humanity headed by and summed up in Jesus Christ. You're dead. It's in realizing that, listen, I died with Christ. My old man is dead. I don't have to live like that anymore. I'm free. And people will be like, well, you're not free. Let me tell you why you're not free. And some people may be Christians that do that or call themselves Christians. That's pretty sad. Don't believe that, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes it's the devil and sometimes it's your own self going, oh, you're not. Look at how bad you have it. You know, you're such in bad shape and all this stuff has happened to you. You can never be new. You know what I do to that? I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I put that thought down in Jesus' name. I make it under the authority of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to believe that. And faith is the substance of things not seen, things hoped for, things believed. And so, although you may not see it on my record, Jesus already sees it on the record on this plane. I know I'm living right here, but this is ending. And this is beginning. And so you know what? I already see myself as renewed. I already see myself as holy. I already see myself as the place where God wants me to be. And we're going to get there because we're going to get there together. And he's going to train me. And he's going to help me. And I'm going to get to that destination. And I don't care what people say. Because faith is the substance of things not seen, things hoped for, and things believed. So I'm going to believe it, although the world would say, just look at this screen. Just be mesmerized by the world. Just live for this world and do the things that I tell you to do. And God has taken the glasses off, and he's saying, I want to give you new life. Die with me to sin. Die with me to that old way of life and come up, right? If you just stay under there while I'm baptizing you, I'm going to get a couple other people like, hey, help me pull this person up. You're not supposed to stay dead, right? Well, gee, you know, Pastor, I've always been a sinner. I love that song, Amazing Grace, saved a wretch. I'm still a wretch. And I'm in process of dying. Don't bother me. No, it's not time for you to live like you're dead. It's time to live like you're alive. And that newness of life is new character. Oh, you know, I'm an ornery fella. You're just going to have to bear with me, Pastor. No, right now you're dead. Can you get up? Because Jesus gives you the power to get up. And he has the power to fill you with joy. Amen? He has the power to fill you with peace. He has the power to change you from the inside out, clean out the inside of the cup, and then the outside's going to show it and the outside's going to shine. So don't tell me you're dead, because that's only half of it. Tell me you're ready to live. Tell me you're ready to walk in the newness of who Jesus made you to be. And that's supernatural. And that is touching the plane up here and not just living in the old, but allowing the manifest new work that Jesus has done, has born in his kingdom, has carried out in supernatural ways affect your life. I'm not here to tell you how dirty you are living in sin. You jerk, get away from me. You know what Jesus says? I love this. Pastor John Lindell shared this. He said, when my kids were acting up real bad, I didn't push them away from me. I brought them closer. And when my kids were acting bad and they were acting up and they were doing things they shouldn't, I didn't push them away. I drew them close. Because that's when they needed me the most. Some of us view communion, and we're getting ready in a moment just to receive communion. Actually, at this time, Gay, you could come on up. And a lot of times when we think of God, we think, well, I got to get pure and clean. There's at least 100 sins I did today. And this week I better tell God real quick, and then it's just this magical process, and I'm just gonna be good. And then some people are like, I am not worthy, I'm a wretch, I'm dead, I am unworthy, and I'm just gonna draw away from God. And in fact, I'm gonna start not attending church because, you know, I know pastor's giving me some looming glances. I don't know what looming glances are. Please don't think I'm giving them to you. Sometimes I make certain points and I look at people and they're like, you're looking at me, pastor. What are you pointing at me, pastor? Because you're making eye contact right now. No, maybe that's the Holy Spirit, huh? Maybe that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that says, I want to train you. You've been doing this. You've been breaking your back. You're going in the wrong direction. You're doing it wrong. And I want to convict you, and I don't want to convict you to push you away. I don't want to convict you to get you out of my house. I want to draw you near. And there's some discipline with that. And there's some growing with that. And yeah, there's some humbling in that. But I love you. And because I love you, I want to draw you close. Because I love you, I don't want you to live like that. And so when we take communion, we're saying we're part of the body of Christ. I don't have it perfect. I mess up. I sin. It doesn't mean I'm trying to live a life of sin and then hide it. I truly want to live for God. I truly want to live brand new. And so I know that he's given me the power to do it. So when I come to the communion table, and you guys could even come forward. Ushers, would you begin to come forward? You don't have to be a member here to join communion. We just ask that you be a believer in Jesus. And the Lord says, it's not some magical thing where you take this and take this, and man, all the sins that I did all week are just boom, and then I can go on living my life. Paul was talking to two kinds of people. Please hold the elements till we take them. He was talking to two kinds of people. He was talking to people on one side that said, I can do whatever I want. I can live however I want, and then I'll take the cup, and I'll take the bread, and God's going to do some kind of supernatural woo, and I'm good to go and continue to live my life with sin being my king and being on the throne of my life and just doing what I want to do. And then there were people over here that were law keepers, and they said, you need to toe the line. I need to toe the line. Get him. And Paul rebukes both. He rebukes the legalistic zealot, and he rebukes the one that just says, I can get away with anything, and then I'll do something that just looks Christian, and I'll slap an okay on it, and then I'll continue my life no different. And Paul says, you're both wrong. You're both wrong. Because what I want to do is I want to transform your heart and your life. I don't want you to live in that anymore. I want you to live in the newness of life that I've created you to be in. I'm not pushing you away. I'm asking you to come close. Kareen, could you come up at this time? Could you grab the microphone? I don't know where it went. The hand one. And so I don't know where you're at. But just like that prayer with Kareen, that I didn't know what was going to happen, the Holy Spirit can use his word to speak into our lives. And when he speaks into our life, everything has changed. You and I have to break habits in our life, but you don't do it alone. We were reading in Sunday school about Jacob. And Jacob, with all the problems that needed to change in his life, God said, I'm not going to leave you. And guess what? The promises I promised to you, I'm going to fulfill. But I need you to do something for me. I need you to make a promise, a vow that you're going to follow me. I need you to live different. I need you to act different. And so he responded and saying, God, I'm going to do this and this and this. And then he acted upon it and did this and this and this. God's calling you to action. He's calling you to take faith steps. As the body of Christ, we not only die with him, I'm dead to that sin. No more space invaders for me. even if it is a fun Atari game, okay? No more invader. Jesus, you're back in the forefront of my life. And I want to not only stay dead, I want to be dead to sin because I am, but now I want to live in a newness of life. And Christ gives us the power to live that way. He gives us the power to live that way. And so we're going to pray over the elements. I'm just going to wait a moment so these guys can grab communion. And thank you guys for serving. We appreciate your service to the Lord. And would you take the bread and we would pray over it. Lord, I thank you that Jesus, that you said, take this bread. This is my body broken for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. And when he did this, he didn't just take your past sins. He took sins that you and I were going to do in the future. He took it all upon the cross. And he was broken for me and you, so that you didn't have to have sin as king in your life and in my life. But we could live free. Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom that you offer in your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's take the bread together.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's bless the cup. Jesus, when he was with his disciples in the upper room, he took the cup and he said, take this and drink of it. And he had blessed it first. He said, this is my blood shed for you for the remission of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. How can we ever forget his great love, his great sacrifice for us? Not for only for us, for all eternity. For everyone that goes forward beyond us, it's there, it's free to the taking. All we have to do is receive. He did the great work for us. So Jesus, we thank you for the cross and your shed blood. Lord, forgive our sins. Cover us with your mercy. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for all you've done for us. And we take this together in remembrance of him and his great love.
Amen. And Lord, I just pray over all of us. God, help us to be strong in you. Help us to train up in righteousness. Help us, Lord God, to truly live as alive to you, dead to sin, dead to the ways of the world. And when that dead man tries to knock on the door and say, hey, I'm a part of you, this is who you are, I pray for the ability to rebuke the enemy, to rebuke that sin, say, I'm not going that way. That's not my life. I have the power to slam that door in Jesus' name. And God, we also pray for Halloween as it's coming up this Wednesday. God, we're going to be able to bless as a church over 800 to 900 children and tell them that Jesus loves you. And God, we push back the darkness. We know that witches are real. We know that evil powers are real. But we know that you are greater. And so we just plead the blood of Jesus over the location, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over this act, Lord God, that we're doing for another year, God, to share the love of Christ. Instead of closing our doors and saying, we don't want you, we want you far away from us, we're opening it up and giving giant, big-sized candy bars and big-sized candy saying, we love you and Jesus loves you. God, I pray that it would have an eternal impact. I pray, Lord God, that Mitchell would receive even more and more light of God. Thank you for the churches in this area. Thank you for all the churches that are going to be a light on Wednesday night. As witches are casting spells and that stuff is real, as they're celebrating the dead and celebrating hurting people if they don't get something from them, we celebrate the light and we celebrate the truth. and we combat the darkness through your power that changes lives and transforms lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name and ask that you bless our week this week. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you.
Quick reminder.